This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, August 10th. I'm Gavin Dahl. Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peters is in hot water again. Yesterday, Colorado Secretary of State's office responded to a potential chain of custody and security protocol breach for Mesa County's voting system components. Images were posted online of the BIOS passwords specific to the individual hardware stations of Mesa County's voting system. The public disclosure of passwords constitutes a serious breach of voting system security protocols, as well as a violation of election rules. In a press release, the Secretary of State says this breach in security protocol has not created an imminent direct security risk to Colorado's elections, as it did not occur during an election. Judging from social media postings, sensitive information was collected during the limited access trusted build installation in Mesa County on May 25th of this year. In response to this breach in protocols, the Secretary of State's office has sent an order requesting inspection of election equipment and other relevant materials to the Mesa County Clerk and Recorder. Depending on the outcome of the investigation, these violations may result in the decertification of voting systems in Mesa County. Oil and gas company KP Kaufman is facing a proposed $3.7 million fine over alleged operating violations. The company might also lose its right to operate here, as a three-day hearing on its case opens before the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission today. In April, the commission ordered 87 of KPK's wells shut down and a cleanup of 29 sites for violations ranging from fouling farm fields to covering the road in front of a high school with oil wastes. The Colorado Sun reports other violations include improperly storing waste, failing to report and address spills, and not taking environmental precautions. KP Kaufman operates about 1,200 oil wells on the Front Range and disputes these allegations. If KPK goes out of business and the state inherits its wells for plugging and abandonment, it would increase fivefold the number of orphan wells in Colorado. KPK has posted a little more than $1.1 million in cleanup bonds, $900 per well, according to the COGCC. At Montrose City Council meeting last week, developer Rich Dana presented his plans for three Montrose mobile home parks. San Juan, Cottonwood, and Green Acres mobile home parks are dilapidated and in need of multiple upgrades. The Montrose Press reports after talks with Assistant City Manager Ann Morgenthaler, Dana is now getting support from the council for the upgrades and a proper mobile home park permit. The council has committed $500,000, part of it from the American Rescue Plan Act, for the removal of asbestos and the addition of water and sewer infrastructure. The developer also spoke on the need for general park maintenance, drainage, additional lighting, fire hydrants, and tiny homes. Four businesses are purchasing the Uray Chalet Inn for workforce housing with plans to rent long-term to their own employees. Uray County Plain Dealer reports rooms will be leased by employers for their employees rather than to workers directly. The deal on the 29-unit hotel is set to close September 15th with a planned November 1st move-in date. Building affordable housing in mountain communities isn't easy. Limited land pushes up prices and building costs are high. Telluride is looking to raise extra money to offset building and maintenance costs. KOTO's Julia Caulfield reports for Rocky Mountain Community Radio's reporting collaboration on affordable housing supported by Solutions Journalism Network.
In 2019, three Telluride locals identified what they saw as a problem. Pepper Raper Contillo was one of them.
We see our town is just bleeding people and wonderful people that are volunteers and great workers and wonderful community members, and people can't find housing.
The Trust for Community Housing, a local housing nonprofit, estimates there are currently fewer than five housing units on the market for rent. And affordable housing projects in the area currently each have wait lists of over 100 people. So, Raper Contillo and her friends decided to put democracy in action and do something about it.
We decided, hey, let's tax the problem and turn the problem into a solution.
That solution was a citizens' initiative ballot measure.
The citizens' ballot initiative we did was to put an excise tax on short-term rentals within the town of Telluride. We proposed a 2.5% excise tax, and that money was specifically earmarked for the affordable housing budget of town.
The measure was aimed at short-term private rentals, like Airbnb or VRBO, and excluded hotels and commercial accommodations. The short-term rentals, Raper Contillo says, is contributing to local residents losing their long-term housing. Roughly 35% of Telluride's housing stock is currently short-term rentals. That's up from about 20% 5 years ago. That fall, the measure passed with 56% of the vote. The tax went into effect in January 2020. In the first year, Telluride collected over $400,000 in tax revenue. In 2021, Telluride Mayor Delaney Young anticipates the town will collect $800,000. She says that funding will help float a number of construction projects coming down the pipeline. The town of Telluride is currently building a 30-unit rental project and are planning to break ground on two other housing projects within the next year, adding another 30 to 50 units of housing.
You can never really have enough dedicated funding sources for something that is at this level of crisis. We just need to keep our eye on the goal, which is to get as many units built as quickly as we can.
And for Raper Cantillo, housing efforts related to the tax are essential to keeping the community sound. For one, she says the lack of affordable housing discourages people from starting new businesses in Telluride.
They don't want to commit to anything because they don't know at what point they may get kicked out of their housing and have to move town.
Mayor Young adds housing is more than just a roof over your head.
It has to do with your mental health. It has to do with economic health for the region. Housing is, if you will, the hub of the wheel, and all of the spokes that come off are related to what that stable housing can provide to the entire community. For not only the employees who live in it, but the businesses where they work, the schools that their children attend, et cetera, et cetera.
Now, the idea for a short-term rental tax didn't appear out of thin air. Other mountain towns, including Crested Butte, provided a roadmap for what the tax could look like in Telluride. Voters there passed a tax on short-term rentals that took effect in 2018.
Having a defined revenue stream that's been pretty consistent these past few years is a great benefit for the community and for the Affordable Housing Fund. It certainly gives us the stability to do things that we couldn't necessarily plan on being able to do in years prior.
Dara McDonald, town manager for the town of Crested Butte. She notes the town collects about $400,000 a year from the tax, which goes back into the town's affordable housing fund.
It certainly has not impeded rentals. We just continue to see growth in the revenue numbers that we're receiving.
But McDonald and Raper Cantillo recognize the tax is just one element.
It's not enough. We still, like Telluride, have a huge uphill battle to be able to secure sufficient housing for our local workforce.
This is one small puzzle piece of many actions we can take. And, you know, some say 2.5% wasn't enough to make it worth it, so we shouldn't have done it at all. But if you look at it, at the end of the day, it's raising funds that were not there before.
And now more locals are stepping in again. A new citizens initiative to cap the number of short-term rentals in Telluride is working its way to the ballot this fall. For KOTO and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Julia Caulfield.
That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.